The old Rugged Cross is one of those songs that everybody knows how to sing. They've been singing it a long time, and so they won't even look at Brother Ben at all. They just said they already know how to sing it, and they sing it their way. So about half the congregation sang it one way, and half sang it the other way, and that's about normal, I guess, for us. So it didn't hurt us all that much. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let me give you a disclaimer with regard to the message tonight. And that is, I'm going to preach a message that is ideal from the Word of God for our young people and for our older people. But some of the things I'll cover tonight, it could be that that is not where you are, or that's not been the life's track for you. So my admonition is that wherever you are in your life, this time in your life, is that you take it up from there and seek out God's ideal. You can reach God's ideal from where you are right now for the rest of your life. But I want to bring a message that's going to help in particular our young people and our singles tonight, and will be a help to them. You can start right from where you are right now at the particular point in your life and seek God's ideal and walk in that way. I want to talk tonight. I'll bring a message tonight entitled The Marriage Altar, An Altar of God's Choosing. The Marriage Altar, An Altar of God's Choosing. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, "Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest. But in the place which the Lord shall choose in one of thy tribes, there thou shalt offer thy burnt offerings, and there thou shalt do all that I command thee. Take heed to thyself that thou offer not thy burnt offerings in every place that thou seest, but in the place which the Lord shall choose. The marriage altar, an altar of God's choosing. Let us pray. Father in heaven, this message will be a help to those who will take it and run with it, and to those who take and apply it to life. And it'll be a help to those that maybe do not find their children at the particular age that this message is applied to them. They'll reach that age, and they'll need this philosophy as a part of their family thinking, their family life. So use it tonight, Father. Be a help to us. I pray in Jesus' name, and amen. An altar in the place which the Lord shall choose. An altar in the place which the Lord shall choose. What I've done tonight is I've set up here in the front on the communion table, this would be the altar of the Lord. This is the church altar. This would be the altar of the Lord. I sit over here. These are altars, and these we'll call for our message wayside altars. This would be a wayside altar. This would be a wayside altar. Now, our goal in life is to follow God and move and stay in tune and stay in line with the altar, with God's altar, the one that He's chosen for our lives. But there are wayside altars in life. There are those places that are that we find ourselves, in some sense, forgetting God and moving away from the ideal that God has for us, and the altar in which the Lord has chosen for us. We find that in the book of Joshua when it came to Achan. If you read the scriptures there that relate to Achan, you'll find out that when they went into Jericho, and it ended up with the sin of Achan, it ended up that he caused his whole family to be stoned and be killed. And the problem there was not what many people think it was. The problem there was that when they went into Jericho, it's a lesson on tithing. It's a lesson on giving. Jericho was the first city they would take. And God said of that city, God said, all of the spoils, the first fruits will come to me. All of the spoils will go to me. And Achan went and took that God claimed for his own. It was a wayside altar. See, if Achan would wait, they're going to go in at least two other places in the book of Joshua. They're going to go and take cities, and the spoil will go to the people, the Israelites. The spoil will go to them. But God said, the first fruits belong to me. So Achan went to the wayside altar here, and he stole that Babylonian garment, and he stole that silver, and he took it and hid it in his tent. He was stealing that holy thing from him. God said, that is my, that's a wayside altar. There are people that, and this is not the message, but I'll just stop here. There are people that rob God and steal. The Bible says in Leviticus that the tithe is holy. That it's holy. And yet people will steal from God, take God's holy tithe and use it for their own purposes, and they'll reap the accursed thing when they do that. Now that's not the message, but it's an altar. It's a wayside altar. So what happened actually to Achan was he pulled us. He took that which belonged to God that was holy, and God said, "The first fruits will be mine." You can read the text. We won't, because I want to get into the main message. But were you to read the text, you'd find out that God gives them, after the first fruits go to Him. God gives them those fruits from the battle. Now, there's a wayside altar. So if you're robbing God and not tithing your income, then you're stopping off at a wayside altar. There'll be a price to pay for that. The altar, God said, this is an altar I've chosen. And you come to the altar of God and you give God that which belongs to Him. Leviticus says it's holy. If you rob God in the tithe, you're taking that that God says it, that is holy to Him. And you're using that for your purposes. You be very careful of that, because you're going to pay a price for it. You say, well, you want the money. I don't get the money anyway. I don't give. Look, let me tell you something. Here's my, all of it belongs to God. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. Charles Wesley was out in a, I'm going to stay here. Well, maybe somebody needs it. Charles Wesley was out on a preaching a meeting on horseback, and he'd been out for several months. And he met someone that came hurrying to him and told him, preacher, I've got bad news for you. I've got bad news for you. Nobody's hurt. Said the family's okay, but your house is burned down. John Wesley said, you know something? He said, it all belongs to God. He said, but I'm not discouraged at all to hear that's burned down. That's one thing less I have to take care of. All belongs to God. If He wants to burn the thing down, that's just one thing less that He has to take care of. So don't you take that. See, that's a wayside altar. That's a wayside altar. You make sure you give that which is holy to God. If you don't give it, He'll go down the road and give it, but you ought to give. You ought to make sure that you take that which is holy. Watch out for the wayside altars in your life. You're taking God's holy things and use them for your purposes, and there's a price you'll pay for that. I say that to warn you, not to get anything from you. I don't care. You can tell I'm doing just fine. We're doing just fine. Don't need your money. You need to give. Let me tell you something. You need to give it more than the church needs to receive it. That's true. I'll tell you why, because it's going to cost you if you don't. The church is here for you to do it. That's up to you. Now, that's a wayside. I want to illustrate what a wayside altar is. So turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We'll get into the message. Genesis chapter 39. And we'll talk just a little bit about Joseph. Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 12. Genesis chapter 39 and verses 7 through 12. Genesis chapter 39 and verses 7 through 12. Begin at verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, this is Joseph, this is Potiphar's wife, his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me, even in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Now, Joseph here is on his way to the marriage altar. He's on his way to the marriage altar. Now, he is not going to stop here with Potiphar's wife, because it's a wayside altar of lust. It's a wayside altar. God's chosen altar is the marriage altar. And Joseph is on his way there to that marriage altar. And so Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him and tries to get him to lie with her and commit a wicked act. And he says, how shall I do this thing and sin against God? David said, I'll not let this wayside altar of lust,
I'll not let that claim me. I'm on my way to God's chosen altar, and I'm going to keep myself pure, young people, on my way to that altar. There's a marriage altar, and that marriage altar is God's chosen altar. And you are to keep yourself pure. Don't you stop off here at the wayside altar of lust and lose your purity on your way to marriage. God has a chosen altar, and that altar is an altar that you'll come to in purity. Now, Samson was just the opposite. Turn to Judges chapter 14. And we'll begin with verse 1. Judges chapter 14, we'll begin with verse 1. Samson was just the opposite. Judges chapter 14 and verses 1, 2, 3, and then we'll go to chapter 16. Judges chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto her, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now also in chapter 16 of Judges and verses 1 through 4. And went Samson to Gaza, and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson has come hither, and they compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and rose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. Now, verse 4. And it came to pass after that he loved a woman in the valley of Zorak, whose name was Delilah. Now, Joseph, on his way to the marriage altar, there was a wayside altar of lust, and Joseph said, I will not stop at it. Samson, on his way through life, on his way potentially to a marriage altar, he did the exact opposite. He did the exact opposite of Joseph. He kept stopping and stopping at the wayside altars of lust. Now, God has a chosen altar. God has, and that chosen altar is the marriage altar. And we are young people. We are to keep ourselves pure as we move toward that marriage altar. And you are to watch out for the wayside altar. You see, we live in a day just before the coming of the Christ. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, says, in that period of time, before the days of the flood, that they chose women by how they looked. If they were fair. And they were good to look upon. Now I think that ought to be true. I think you young men, I wouldn't advise you to marry someone you weren't physically attracted to. I don't think you ought to marry somebody you couldn't hardly stand to be in a room with. That sort of thing, as far as being attracted. And understand this, that one you might be attracted to, then someone else wouldn't be. And so God has a little negative that he puts in your heart there, and that's who you're looking for. But at the same time, there should be an attraction. That should not be all that makes that creates an interest in you with the opposite sex. Now, Samson here did exactly what Joseph did not do. Joseph did not stop off at the wayside altar on his way to the marriage altar. Now, Joseph's purity and his innocence, he's not going to lose them to Potiphar's wife. He's not going to lose them to Potiphar's wife. Joseph recognized, and whether he understood the verses in Proverbs, I'll show you a couple of verses in Proverbs that'll help us. Whether he understood these or not, I do not. Look at Proverbs chapter 7 and verses 21 through 23. Proverbs chapter 7, as you're on your way to the chosen altar of God, the marriage altar, I'm going to help you with it. Proverbs chapter 7. Verses 21 through 23. Proverbs chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. This talks about the harlot that tries to take away the precious life of those who are pure. In Proverbs chapter 7, verse 20, and with her fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver. And as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. It's for the precious life. And that's what the harlot is after, for the precious life. Look at chapter 6 and verse 26, and it speaks about it just across the page there.
says, by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. You listen to me, young men in particular, the harlots and the adulteress, they want the precious life. They can have those that sleep around and they're good for nothing. The womanizers, no, they want the precious life. They'll be seeking after those that are innocent. They want the ones that still have still have purity, that have precious life. You watch out for that, and you make sure that you head to the marriage altar, to that chosen altar of God, and don't you stop at any wayside altars there to lose your purity. The adulteress is after you. The adulteress comes seeking the precious, always seeking the precious. Always you find them at the side altars. Now, the altar of God's choosing, the marriage altar, is an altar of God's choosing. Joseph, on his way to the marriage altar, did not stop by the wayside altar of Potiphar's wife. Samson, on his way to the marriage altar, stopped by several wayside altars. Not of God's choosing, a lost wedding partner. Let me tell you something. I want to tell you this, and just, I've said, I'm preaching the ideal. Listen to me. Each of you that you are single, everybody that's single here tonight, you're not going to tell you something. To bring a lost person to the marriage altar is not acceptable at God's marriage altar. Not acceptable. It happens, but it's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. By the way, it doesn't happen here. But you need to know that. You that are not married, you need to know to court and to be engaged and plan to marry someone who is lost. And then to bring them to God's marriage altar at the church altar is not acceptable to God. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. It's not of God's choosing. It is a violation of God's holy word. Let me say something to the unmarried older singles. And you're here tonight, and you're unmarried, and you've not found that you've not made that appointment that God has for you. You're not there yet. You are at the threshold of adult life. You have affection in your heart. God put that affection there. That's when God said that it's not good that man should be alone. God saw the affection that Adam had in his heart. Not good for him to be alone. You have affection in your heart. God put that affection there. That affection has a longing that craves to receive like affection. That's what you're looking for. That affection has a longing, has a craving for like affection. God says it's not good that affection shouldn't be met in another that He has for you. Now look, you can't stop at a wayside altar to satisfy that affection outside of the marriage altar. You lose far too much when you do. You can't stop there. You've got to keep moving toward the marriage altar. You that are older, singles, and unmarried, the most important of all the questions of your life is, who shall I marry to have these affections fulfilled in? Who is it that God has for me? Did you know this? You that are older, not yet married, I'll tell you something. Did you know that God knows who's going to stand with you at the marriage altar? He already knows. Isn't that wonderful? When we pray for our children, for their mates, from the time they're born, we pray for the one they're going to marry. He's not going to pop up out of some Cracker Jack box, you know. He's somewhere right now. He's not going to be born tomorrow, so we figured we'd be praying for him even though we didn't know who he was or who she was. And we prayed for the one they were going to get, but from the time they were born. And God knows. And we want to know. It's like Phillips Brooks, the preacher. Phillips Brooks, and he was rushing around in his office, and a fellow preacher came in and said, "Preacher, what in the world is wrong with you? You're rushing all around." And Phillips Brooks said, he said, "I'm in a hurry, but God's not." See, we get in a hurry, but God's not. God knows. God knows who's going to stand at that altar with you. And the most important question of all the questions of your life is this: who shall I marry to have these affections fulfilled in? There's a need in men and women for corresponding affections. You can marry someone you meet at the wayside altar, but the intensity of your marriage will not be what it could have been. You wait for God's choice. When it's God, let me tell you something, this is wonderful. When it's God's choice, it ends up in divine love. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Hey, if you've got God's mate for you, God arranged it. Divinity arranged it. He's divine. It's divine love. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. One or two. Got it. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. When it's God's choice, it results. I would rather wait and wait and wait and wait and have God's choice and divine love than to take somebody from the wayside altar. I think I'd just wait. Don't be in a hurry. There's no rush. Alfred Lord Tennyson, in his writings for the love of his life, his wife, it is said about him that love burned in his soul for his wife. Love burned in his soul. Not burning lust, but love. Burning desire, not lust. Enduring passion in his writings of his precious wife. Tennyson, in his great love for his wife, had not sacrificed at the wayside altar. You could tell it in his writings, that a love for God also. It is said of him that he had self-reservation. He held himself in reserve till marriage. He held himself in reserve. You hold yourself in reserve until marriage. Just hold yourself in reserve until marriage. God knows. And God waits for you at the marriage altar. It is an holy altar. It is an altar of His choosing. He has for you the appointed one. He waits for you at the marriage altar. The marriage altar is an altar of the Lord's choosing. What do you bring to the altar? You bring to the altar that which you have saved. You bring your purity. You bring your purity. You bring your innocence. If you stop by the wayside altar and lose your purity, you cannot bring that pure offering to the marriage altar. It's left at the wayside altar. When you marry, you may and will bring other things to the marriage altar, but not purity and not innocence. You lose it when you do not move by the will of God towards God's chosen altar, the marriage altar, at the church altar, and you squander your purity at some wayside altar. At some wayside altar. And you leave it there. And then there comes time for marriage. And you cannot bring the gift of purity and innocence to the marriage altar, God's chosen altar. Something wonderful is this, is when you do not lose your purity, when you keep yourself for the one that God has for you, and you come to the marriage altar of His choosing, and then the wonderful thing is that then you give it to each other at the altar. You bring your sacrifice to Him, to your husband, to your wife. You bring that which you had saved for them. You bring the gift to the marriage altar. Hallelujah. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's the way God has planned it. It is your gift at the altar. We bring sacrifices, you know, to the altar. To each other. And not only to each other, but to God. Now, you moms and dads, you got some younger kids. This needs to be a part of your philosophy. You ought to get a copy of this message and listen it over and over and over again so that you can teach your children this. Wonderful. This is God's ideal. It's God's ideal. And it's a gift that you bring. You save it to give. Oh, this is wonderful. Did you know in marriage, you don't lose your purity. You don't lose your innocence. In marriage, you bring it and you give it to each other and you keep it. You keep purity with each other. You keep innocence with each other. And the wonderful marriage is a marriage that continues in innocence. Wonderful. It is a gift at the altar. The white dress, a sign of purity. The idea comes from the white robes that Christ dresses His bride in. The robes of righteousness received from Christ. That He dresses the saints of God in. Oh, listen, when you walk down the aisle in that white dress and you give yourself in marriage to the one that God has for you, you don't lose your innocence in marriage. It's not like, say, you go to the wayside altar and you lose your purity there and you lose your innocence there, but not in marriage. You come to the altar and you give it to each other. You give your purity to your husband, to your wife. You give your innocence to your husband and you keep it. You don't lose it. You don't lose it. And you continue in innocence. I call it keeping the edge of innocence. In marriage, keeping the edge of innocence. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. In marriage, in your home, you start out a marriage like that. You start out where you come and you have God's blessing. You have God's mate. You're not in any hurry at all because God knows who's going to be there at the altar with you. And you started out in holiness before God. And there's an edge of innocence that continues in your home. And here's what you hang on the wall. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, there be any praise, think on these things. And you live your life that way. So you just old-fashioned, and you just not up with the times, and you don't want that television blaring in there. No, I want the innocence in my home. That's what I want. That's why I want the literature to be right. That's why the music's got to be right. That's why it's got to be right, because of the continuing innocence from going to the marriage altar in purity and maintaining the edge of innocence. That's why I want it that way. So I don't feed the flesh. Do what you want. My entertainment's not going to be the world's entertainment. That doesn't make me godly. It's the world's entertainment. Foreign to you. The world's entertainment does not make us godly. Does not make your children godly. Does not make your home godly. Hey, we want a godly church. We want a godly home. A purity of life. There are things you can enjoy. You must police that very, very carefully. Look at Romans 16 and verse 19. Romans 16 and verse 19. The last part of that verse. Wonderful verse of Scripture. Wonderful verse of Scripture. Romans chapter 16 verse 19. I would have you wise. I would have you wise unto that which is good. Look into that. Pursue that. And simple concerning evil. I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Don't get into that. Stay simple. Don't learn about evil. Don't pursue after knowing about evil. You have to know about evil. You have to know about drunkenness to know that it's wrong. You have to know about drugs to know that it's wrong. You don't have to do all of that. You know how you find out whether a dollar bill is a counterfeit or not? You don't study counterfeit bills. You study the real thing to make sure you recognize the real thing. If you recognize the real thing, you have to worry. You'll know when a counterfeit shows up. He says, stay simple. Simple concerning evil. Don't learn about evil. Once it gets in your head, it's there. You can't get it out. Stay away from that. Stay away from it. What was the old admonition? See no evil. Hear no evil, do no evil. And there's a reason they're in that sequence too, you know. See no evil, hear no evil, do no evil. Go from the altar of God's choosing and live your life, keeping the edge of innocence. I want that. I just want that. Stay far from the wayside altars. Stay far from them. You want a God-honoring church? We have one. Also, you want to make your home a God-honoring home. The marriage altar at the church altar needs to stay right. Needs to start right. You need to keep the edge of innocence in your marriage. You young people, this is the ideal. Watch out for the wayside altars. Follow the example of Joseph, that you might bring the gift of purity to the altar of God's choosing. That's a wonderful thing. That's wonderful. And you bring that and you give that to each other. It's a gift. And you don't lose your purity. You don't lose your innocence. That's ordained by God. And you go on in purity with each other, and in innocence with each other. And you just continue. And for decades you do that. And when you sense something is coming to take away the holiness of your home, You get on it. And you move it out. Not one thing in our house, when I die, if I die tonight before this message is finished, there's not one thing in our house that I wouldn't mind my children seeing, not one thing. They can go through all of my things. They can have every church member of this church go over there, and we'll go through them all together, and they would not be embarrassed by one thing in our home, not one thing. Not one thing. I want to keep it clean. You might need to go and take out some things that you have in your home. I want to be like Jesus, just walk through, just cleaned it out. I don't be embarrassed with our children at all, to my family at all. I want to make sure that everything is there. Not something hid away. Everything there. Not something, music, nothing hid away. Everything is there, just wide open. I want it to be a holy home. Watch out for the little wayside altars. Follow the example of Joseph, that you might bring the gift of purity, young people, to the altar of God's choosing. A Christian home is the glory of the Christian heritage. Let me say a couple of things to those. Maybe tonight you've not had the ideal. You can, right now from where you are, you can pursue that which is ideal from where you're starting right now. You can move from there and grab God's ideal. You say, my life has not met the ideal that is still an option to these young people. Maybe there's a divorce or something that's happened in your past that presented you from the ideal, from the role that I preached on tonight. God specializes, beloved, in all cases, not just the ideal. In fact, there are more who come with broken hearts and lives than the ideal. In fact, let me tell you something, young people, as much as I love you, as much as I want you to reach the ideal, some of you won't. Some of you won't. Some go out. We don't win them all. We win a lot. And God is real good. And we've had great, great victory with our young people and because of our great families. But word gets back to us of some who have known the way and have lost their way. We don't win them all. And some of you won't reach the ideal. I do not know who. I wish by faith that all, and I trust that all will seek it and find it. I hope so. But there are more who come with broken hearts and lives than the ideal. But the answer there, when I talk about taking, going from where you are now, there's another altar of God's choosing. And there all of life's struggles have been considered. This other altar of God's choosing is Calvary. Christ, who never turned aside to a wayside altar on his way to that altar at Calvary, he never turned aside. He went straight to the altar at Calvary, and he lived a perfect life so that you and I could, wherever we find ourselves, we could go to Christ and say, Christ, I want the ideal from this moment forward. I want your ideal for me. Maybe there's some things in the past that were not ideal. But God, I want through Jesus Christ, I want the power on my life and through my life to reach out and have the ideal. That's what I want. God has more of those than those who reach the ideal in younger years. God still meets with us at Calvary. hope and inspiration we find there. Past stops of the wayside altars are covered there. Jesus Christ delights to take our lives and at our request to show us His purpose and His place for us. Calvary, the first altar of God's choosing. Calvary does cover it all. My admonition tonight for you young people in particular is this. Watch out for the wayside altar. And you older people too. Let me tell you something about those who are married and who sneak off and watch pornography on the internet, or watch pornography on television, or go to some store and pick up some magazine, some pornographic magazine, or listen to music that promotes that sort of thing. Let me tell you something. You too have found yourself drifting over to a wayside altar, and that also has a price to it. Well, we're getting... No, you're not getting away with it. You never get away with sin. Never, 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 never. Never. You never do. You never. You confess it and get it under the blood. Don't think that you get away with it. You just don't. And you kill your relationship with Jesus Christ, and you harm your relationship with your wife when you do that. You make sure you older folks, you make sure you also keep your vows that you made at the altar of God, make sure you keep them. You younger people, this altar is the altar of God's choosing. You move there in purity. You move there in innocence. And it's just a wonderful thing. You'll get to keep that all of your life. It's not like the altar of lust where you lose your purity, where you lose your innocence. You bring that in innocence to each other. And innocence and purity is magnified. Isn't that wonderful? It's magnified. Two pure ones come. Two innocent ones come. And it's magnified. And you start out with a godly home. And then you keep the edge of innocence in your relationship throughout all of your life. I counsel with couples and I tell them about when you get married, now you maintain a certain threshold. Don't you ever, ever completely become yourself. You do that and your husband's not going to like you. You do that and your wife's not really going to like you. Don't ever become yourself. Don't get that relaxed. Always have a threshold there that you don't go below. Always. And sometimes they find that humorous even. Some of them even laughed about that. They find it humorous. And that's all right with me. They'll find it later on. But the idea here is that you need to maintain in your marriage a certain appropriateness, a certain edge of innocency. If you're going to be nice and kind and generous outside the home, it ought to be double that inside. If you husbands are going to... Some lady that you're working with or in the church and she drops something and you just almost break a leg, they get down there and get it to show what a great gentleman you are. And then your wife's going across the kitchen, drops a frying pan, a pan full of water, a half a dozen eggs, and a bowl of flour. And you walk through it and say, get my shoes all white from that flour, headed back to sit down in your easy chair in the living room. It ought to be double in the home. It ought to be double. Well, I see some guilty smiles. And I see some guilty accusations too from the wives who are smiling. Oh, wonderful. Come to the marriage altar and one is pure, one is not. That's going to affect the purity of the home. It's going to affect it. It's going to affect the level of sweetness in that home. I'm not talking about loss of Satan. I'm talking about purity. But both coming to the marriage altar, and both pure. It doubles it. Now, as I close, let me tell you this again. You say, preacher, mine has not been the ideal. Get the idea from where you are right now. Go forward from there. I preach a message tonight for the ideal, because that's what I want for our young people. That's what I want for our older people. And I can't not preach what the ideal is because some aren't there. I want us all to get there, but I tell you, we can do this. You can get to God's ideal tonight from where you are. That's about for prayer.